We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Taking you on a journey for the pursuit of PPC. Welcome to PPC Rockstars. Get ready to rumble through the latest PPC news and views from around the blogosphere. Learn from our host and the PPC pros that will take you to the promised land of PPC profit. We're cashing in the clicks with the PPC Rockstars. Here's your host, David Zatella.
Hey, PPC friends. Yep, another episode of PPC Rockstars. And one of my favorite rock stars is on today. You know her as the editor and content queen of SMX and search engine land. Of course, I'm talking about Ginny Marvin. Welcome, Ginny.
Thanks so much, David. Happy to be here.
Hello. Let's go silent for a sec. I got to come in. I'm sorry. I'm full of allergy medication.
Oh, sorry.
So if I fall asleep, just go on without me. And today with Ginny, Ginny's kind of all about the news, even though she's a fierce practitioner of PPC. But when I say the news, I mean search and search engine news. But we're going to talk a little bit about broader news today and even get a little bit controversial, which we don't do enough on this show. So, Ginny, today we're going to talk about, number one, how the COVID-19 pandemic has been affecting advertisers and how that's been changing over time. And number two, we're going to talk about what I will call for the moment racial injustice. So what's been happening with the pandemic as relates to advertising?
It's so situational in many ways. And so you've seen companies in e-commerce that have been to some extent perfectly situationed for a scenario like this and have seen massive increases in consumer interest and demand. And I say perfectly situated from a demand standpoint. Of course, from an actual logistical standpoint, we've seen all kinds of challenges with supply chain, delivery chain, all of that. And so, you know, to some extent, no one has really been unchallenged during this time. And then obviously you've got local businesses and brick and mortar businesses that have been really, really hard hit. Mm-hmm. And what has been really interesting there is watching, and not just there, obviously, you know, kind of across the spectrum, seeing the rapid shifts that companies have undergone. You know, I think the more I talk to people, they're surprised at their own ability to transition so quickly, and whether it's their entire business model or their advertising model or their supply chain. So that has been fascinating, and certainly from a digital transformation standpoint, we've seen that with companies suddenly saying we've got to digitize our customer data is not it's not accessible for a way for us to actually activate on it. And so let's do this. We've been talking about it for 2 years. We had this sort of like, you know, 6 to 9 year roadmap for getting this done. And then we just did it in 3 weeks. Right. So things like that have been really interesting. And in terms of from an advertising standpoint, You know, certainly in the beginning, we saw a large number of advertisers just stop and pause. And whether that was because they had to close their stores or they, you know, for whatever reason, business wasn't operating as normal. But then you also saw people like who just sold out of all their inventory, had nothing to advertise. And you had issues with, you know, being able to send inventory into Amazon for a while there. So there were a number of challenges that really pulled on budgets. And you saw, especially in that March period, that was mid to end March was sort of the crisis, really peak of the crisis, and everyone trying to figure out what to do. But interesting, in April and May, in so many sectors, things started really sort of either returning to somewhat normal or kind of in this next shift of transition to kind of evening out, figuring out what this new new period looks like. Mm-hmm. And certainly ad budgets didn't restore totally, unless you were in e-commerce or in a high demand industry and had inventory to sell. And then, you know, we've seen people keep talking about how it was like Black Friday every day.
Right.
Have
you seen any trends in CPCs and CPAs throughout this?
Yes. Well, so certainly, you know, when everyone pulled back, and not everyone, but, you know, when the shift to pull back happened, it was, you know, for those who could keep advertising, it was suddenly this kind of bonanza period to be able to reach people really efficiently, with CPCs and CPMs dropping with the demand going down. And now, you know, people I've been talking to have said, you know, over the last probably few weeks that CPMs have restored to where they were, if not even above normal, depending on what industry they're in, you know, year over year. You know, I think some sectors certainly still have efficiencies compared to last year at this point, but I think we'll start seeing that normalize.
So I guess it looks like I'm looking at an article. WordStream has been doing a pretty good job of putting out benchmarks for different industries throughout this period. And it's a little bit skewed due to the fact that WordStream deals so heavily with small to medium-sized businesses, or even you could say smaller-sized businesses.
Yeah.
But they have, on average, charted lower CPCs and lower CPAs. And it doesn't – they don't – really try to rationalize that in any way, but I've got a theory, and that is that there was a pullback, as you've been describing, and this is something I've seen with my own clients. Pullback or just you know, just kind of knee jerk stopping all advertising, and then gradually a lot of the advertisers started to come back, but not in as big a volume as before the pandemic.
Yeah.
So wasn't as much competition is the point I'm trying to make.
Right, right. And I think that's right. I think from a normalization standpoint, we're seeing less fluctuation, certainly from a downward pressure perspective. But yes, I think there's still, you know, for those who can, where it makes sense for you to keep advertising, this is sort of that period of being able to, you know, think about from a conquesting standpoint and get share of voice and market share while people, your competitors are sitting out. So yes, I think that it's still that time. And, you know, with one of these, there's still, you know, that word uncertainty, there's still so much uncertainty in what this is going to look like, in the fall. And, so, you know, even just trying to think about what Q3, Q4 plays out like, from a, you know, how should you be thinking about your budget? There's still so many questions about, you know, how to really be thinking about that. Is what is holiday going to look like? Right. And for many, you know, in e-commerce right now, this is holiday. You know, this has been sort of unprecedented. And so do you think about just banking as much as you can during this period? You know, and an e-commerce is a little bit different because you can think about it just as if I'm hitting my efficiency targets, then it doesn't really matter what my budget is. But it's a lot harder for folks who are thinking about what do I do in terms of inventory ordering for Q3, and how is that going to ramp into, you know, play into what my budget looks like?
Right.
So there's a lot of really challenging questions for businesses at this point.
Well, let's come back to those right after we hear from some sponsors. So, Jenny, hold on, and listeners, don't go away.
PPC Rockstars. We'll be back after we click through our sponsors.
Ready to do a podcast for your business? Make that podcast elevate to enterprise level. Let WebmasterRadio.fm expedite and execute your podcast to build your brand and broaden your customer base. WebmasterRadio.fm has worked with the world's biggest tech brands, Google, Yahoo, and Bing, and have worked with fast-growing brands like ShipStation and GoDaddy. Now it's your turn. Contact BRASCO at WMR.fm and rush your enterprise-level podcast into production at a very reasonable rate. Email BRASCO at WMR.fm.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
The pursuit of PPC continues. Welcome back to PPC Rockstars. Here's your host, David Zatella.
And we are back with Jenny Marvin, editor-in-chief of the Search Engine Land publications and the SMX shows. Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, cool. We were talking about trends during the pandemic, advertising trends during the pandemic, and you said something that I think is definitely good advice for listeners, and that is, if you notice in your industry that CPCs are lower, CPAs might be lower during this time, it is a perfect time to try to grab market share. And I would also advise advertisers trying to pursue that strategy to try use the Google Display Network and Microsoft Native Ads to basically get more branding and awareness and try to jump up a position or two in market share.
Yeah. And I would also add to that is that, you know, even if things are slower on your end now and you're anticipating, you know, a return of more business in the coming weeks, months, is to start thinking about using the budget you do have for building your audience list now that you can turn to and activate later. And you may be able to build those retargeting lists pretty cheaply at this point. So even if you're not seeing direct you know, last click attribution at this point, and you're not, your campaigns aren't, you know, performing like you would normally expect them to, if it makes sense for you to sort of keep building that awareness, building those audiences that you can message to them later, when things start turning around for you, then that is also something to think about.
Great advice. And let's segue into our second topic. And this one's kind of sensitive. It is the response of the world to the latest incident where a unarmed Black person was killed, murdered by police in the United States, in Minnesota. And I was really impressed, Jenny, with the fact that your daily newsletter, which I love, was it yesterday or the day before, was just pretty much all about reaction to that. And you kind of held off from the normal marketing messages. And so kudos for that.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, it was something that we started talking about, you know, as conversations in work. And we're already a natively remote company. So we're used to already being communicating from all over the country. Mm-hmm. But, you know, those kinds of conversations started happening on Slack and in our kind of daily calls that day, and thinking, we need to say something, but we really need to think about this, because, you know, we are, as we said in that email, want to fully acknowledge that we are a small company of primarily white people. Mm-hmm. And so acknowledging that, you know, we've got, you know, work to do on our front as well. You know, and we have made donations, and that's one step. But, you know, I think internally, we really wanted to express that this has gotten us talking internally, gotten us thinking much more broadly and deeply about our role and responsibilities in the industry, as we've got the events, we've got the websites, and we have these platforms, and how can we use them to really focus more and lift up Black marketers and marketers of color in our industry. And I think a lot of, you know, if I think back on it, a lot of work and focus has been on lifting up and giving more representation to women in the industry, mm-hmm. which is terrific. I think, you know, if I'm honest and think back on it, it's probably been at the detriment of thinking more broadly about are there underrepresented groups, and that includes Black marketers for sure. I think it's really been a massive wake-up call, and long overdue.
Well, I really enjoyed reading an article I sent you this morning. You probably haven't had a chance to look at it, in The Atlantic.
Yes.
Specifically about how should brands, and that's just companies / advertisers, how should they convey to their customers that they're concerned and that they're acting. And a couple interesting things there. One is that the current generation of younger people, which is known as Generation, I'm getting mixed up. Which generation is it?
It's millennials and then Gen Z.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Gen Z expects companies, the brands and the products that they patronize, to reflect some kind of message about how they feel about the world. And so the article detailed, listed several different messaging attempts by major brands. And the point of the article was most of these are just kind of tone deaf. In other words, it's totally insufficient for a company to basically say, Black Lives Matter to us too. I mean, no matter what the intent is behind the words, you know, and I'm not saying that the companies are not well-intentioned, but there has to be, the article said, there has to be more substance behind the words in order for, number one, the customers of the company to feel comfortable, and number two, in order to help make changes in the world that where those changes need to be made. So what's your take on that?
I think it's spot on. And I think that we are at a time where the platitudes and the feel-good messaging, I hope we're at a time that those are not accepted at face value, and that brands are going to be, people are going to demand that brands do better and do more and act. And I think, you know, I'm hoping that this is one of those moments that doesn't just pass by. And it feels like that it is a time where there's actually change will come from this. Mm-hmm. You know, and this kind of thing is normal, right? You see brands put out bland messaging, we're with you for any number of causes. This is, I think, an issue where brands really need to be thinking about what they do both externally and internally, and that internal action then can authentically be reflected in their external messaging. And what I mean by that is that they are thinking about their employees, their hiring practices, their support and mentorship programs, and how they are represented in their executive ranks and in their on their boards, and that, you know, that's where you see Nike getting called out. Like, great, but you know your board is not representative of what you're trying to say in your messaging. Right. And then, you know, thinking about how brands are serving their own. So you've got the internal, and then externally, how they're thinking about serving their customers, and particularly the brands that are heavily dependent on Black audiences for their success. Right. And to not be committing into those communities in real ways other than buy our stuff. I'm hoping now that is not going to fly.
Right.
Of course, you know, we've seen this before. So the real, I think, the responsibility is on all of us. And I say that by not just putting the responsibility on Black consumers, Black employees to be the ones to keep pounding. I think this doesn't happen unless there are white allies in this,
right.
And the demand change. So that, I think, is where I think there's real opportunity here, and you're seeing it in the representation of the in the protest. And, you know, I know Twitter can be a cesspool, but I have been really encouraged in so many ways about what the kinds of conversations that I've been seeing on Twitter with people really listening and asking questions and seeking out resources and volunteering. And so, you know, there's a lot of really great stuff happening. And within the marketing realm specifically as well. So it is, I'm hoping, you know, it's one of those things that we keep carrying through and own.
Hey, hold that thought. Sponsor messages are coming up. Listeners, don't go away.
PPC Rockstars. We'll be back after we click through our sponsors.
Here's the truth you need to know about podcasting. The biggest problem you face right now as a future podcaster is the myth that it takes an enormous amount of time or effort to produce a high-quality professional podcast. Luckily for you, there's a solution to your problem. If you're an online marketer who really needs to grow an audience of buyers but can't do all the heavy lifting alone, then here's the solution you're looking for. Introducing the DFY Podcasting System. Here's what you get. 30 minutes of one-on-one training. A weekly podcast for you or your company, distribution to almost every podcast portal, an embeddable player for your website, an ebook called How to Podcast, created for WMR.FM show hosts, and much, much more. And best of all, you'll start seeing results with the DFY podcast system within a couple of weeks. You're just one podcast away from growing brand awareness and engagement in your business. Log on to podcast.wmr.fm and sign up for a deeply discounted rate today. That's podcast.wmr.fm.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. TopSEOs sends you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let Top SEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
The pursuit of PPC continues. Welcome back to PPC Rockstars. Here's your host, David Zatella.
And we're back with Ginny Marvin. Thank you for that, Ginny. And just a couple reactions. One is that I absolutely agree that it's got, you know, to try to make progress against a systemic problem, you've got to have systemic solutions. And it's, as you said earlier, it's not enough to just echo platitudes, but there has to be actions up and down throughout an organization in order for change to be effective. The article that I was talking about has examples of Silicon Valley companies that are very vocal in their support for eradicating racism, and in the meantime, they are contributing to the election coffers of politicians who get failing grades from an NAACP. So you can't talk out of both sides of your mouth, is the point.
Yep. I agree. And I think that as marketers, really, this is a big time to step back and listen and learn, and that will, you know, that process of, you know, listening, learning will help everyone communicate better, be more effective, teammates, team members, but also will be better marketers for it. And so I think, you know, there are a whole number of reasons, obviously, human rights number one, you know, but there's some self-interest reasons to be actively pursuing these, you know, understanding where people are coming from, really trying to empathize and see the pain, hurt, grief, and how can we turn that into something better? Really listen, and then make our brands and our companies stronger for it.
Right. Well, you bring up an important point, which is, you know, especially us people that have not experienced discrimination and racism firsthand, we're kind of, I know for myself, I'm kind of casting about for what I can do. And you mentioned PPC Chat. There is a kind of movement afoot on PPC Chat in the Julie Friedman, I can't remember her last name. And and Dwayne Brown, just over the past couple of days, have been sharing tweets about, okay, what are we going to do about this? You know, let's put together something that is a handbook. Maybe that's not what they would say, but that's what it reminded me of, for ways that, that advertisers and businesses can conduct themselves and individuals to whittle away and hopefully eventually solve this racial injustice issue.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one of the things that is, I have been really encouraged about, and it certainly helped me, you know, over the past week, is to not fear asking questions, because there is so much we don't know as white people. And for, you know, there's that fear of, I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to ask the wrong question. I don't want to offend, so I won't ask or say anything. So, you know, even those of us with the best intentions, it is counterproductive to not be having the conversations. And so that's where I really feel like that is potentially, you know, a really big thing that can come out of all of this. Is these conversations that we literally until a week ago would never have had in a way that is one public, like you're seeing on Twitter, much less, you know, with the kind of empathy and response that we're seeing now. So right. I do think, you know, that said, it is on people who are white to really listen and do as much outreach and education on our own without having to, you know, rely on the, you know, our Black colleagues and industry colleagues. I saw Sarah Cooper, who is a comedian, said it's exhausting to be everyone's one Black friend right now. so I thought that is really,
I'm sure,
good to keep in mind. Yeah. Right. So I was messaging with Dwayne Brown last night, because I quoted him in our Search Engine Land newsletter this morning, and I just wanted to make sure that was okay. You know, and he's fantastic, and I think we can all learn from him and so many other Black marketers in our community that have been, you know, very outspoken, and you can see the emotion. And so I think as much as we can do to amplify those voices and support our colleagues.
Absolutely agreed. Hey, Jenny, unfortunately, we are at the end of the show. I wish we could go for another 30 minutes or more, but at least we've done this. And I am, but listeners, do check out PPC Chat if you're among those of us who need to do something and want to get inspiration. And come back next time for another episode of PPC Rocksports.
The opinions expressed on this program
are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.